Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote the commandment for you. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about the matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing their little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of our Lord.
So we're in for a treat this morning, and actually for a few Sundays between now the beginning of October and into November, where we'll be hearing from various members of the congregation. This is kind of our low-key approach to a fall pledge campaign, and we've just found over the years that to hear one another's stories is a wonderful thing. So today, you're going to be hearing from Hallie Murphy, and not just what she has to say, but she's going to do a little show and tell, and I'm pretty excited. So let me just frame this gospel reading. We hear from Jesus about divorce, adultery, and kids. And I mistakenly asked the 8 o'clock congregation if there was anyone present who hadn't committed adultery. Probably not the best question to ask. It's difficult to understand, but important to know that Jesus, when he's sparring with these other quoters of the law, as it were. I mean, the interesting contrast in this particular section of the Gospel according to Mark is that some of Jesus' buddies, the Pharisees, who are trying to trip him up, they're quoting the law, and Jesus is quoting God. So there's one clue. But here's the way to understand this section, and the church has used this passage against its people for centuries. And what the church has failed to understand is that Jesus is not talking to battered women. Okay? Jesus is not talking to people whose lives have unraveled for one reason or another behind, you know, alcoholism or drug addiction or whatever it happens to be, various compulsions and whatnot. Jesus is speaking today to a system of domination and power. And that's where the church has missed the boat now for the last 1,600 years or so when it comes to understanding passages like this. So, let me just plant that with you, and now let's hear the good news. Hallie.
So sure. Oh, I'm not so sure I'm comfortable following, you know, divorce and adultery. I can do the children thing, though.
Yeah, go for that.
Yep. So Brian's bringing up my picture show for you. I think it's always risky when you bank on technology. Oh, and look at that cute child. That's me. Such a cool baby. So this is my relative story. Thank you. This is a picture of my mom and her father at that back door. We don't know where that came from, but let them in. So my grandfather there is Lawrence G. Chambers. He was active in the Episcopal Church through his engineering and his ability to engineer stuff. And so he was involved up at Tahoe with Galilee. He engineered some stairs up there. He probably engineered the foundation of the church. My mom's sitting here saying, yep. His name is carved on a rock up there. Pretty cool stuff. So next slide, please. And this is my mom with her mom, Louise Chambers. She served on the Altar Guild here. And Grandma and Grandpa were very involved also in the Carson City Leisure Club, which was started by one of our former rectors, Father Eddie, back in the day. So Carson City Leisure Club is still out there. I think they have an office in the Senior Center. I've seen their name over the plaque there. So one of these days, I'll go pester them for stories about my grandparents. This picture is right after my baptism back in the day. That was in my grandparents' backyard. I was also married in that backyard. And a part of the story that I didn't tell at 8 o'clock that I should tell now is I didn't get married in the church here. I didn't really grow up in the church here. Father Pumphrey did not make us feel welcome. So we left. And I came back when Father Jeff arrived. So I missed a couple of decades there of churching. So I'm not a cradle Episcopalian, even though I act like one. It's a lie. Next slide, please. This is my mom and my dad with me, my first Easter. Aren't we a fashion plate? Mom and Dad had as many matching outfits as the Delaskys. That might explain why my father never came to church. Next slide. And then my sister came along, and we were hellions. Yep, broken arm. Great shag haircut, though. That was the razor cut back in the day. Made my hair go. Next slide, please. So we got our crazy nature, I'm sure, from my father's side of the family. This is my dad and my grandfather. My sister is going over my dad's shoulder there. And I'm holding a gun. Yes, the child who is armed in the picture is me. Maybe a portent of my army career. This picture is my mom and my sister. The little girl in my mom's arms is my sister's youngest child, Chanel. She is Trinity's mom. So those of you who have met Trinity, we had Trinity baptized here a couple years ago. She's 13 now. We like to bring her to church as often as we can, which isn't as often as we'd like to. And then the child in my sister's arms is my son, Cameron. Next slide. And this is me in an adorable little bunny outfit with my grandfather, Larry. I was his little buddy. That's what he always called me, my little buddy. Next slide. And then, you know, after I got married, we started having kids. Man, having a baby will change your life, won't it? And not just mom's life, but dad's life. Yeah. You get the name father, and then you go, oh, my God. I go to church, and I pray to Father, and I worship Father, and we call God Father. That's a heavy mantle, heavy burden to bear, dads. Way to go, dads. Mm-hmm. Next slide. Dads, tied shoes, you know. This is Alicia's favorite picture of her and her dad. She was headed off to ballet. Next slide. And he tied shoes on the beach for Cameron. Take the boys fishing and put the girls in dance lessons. Yep, we did all that. And Cameron, he really liked to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when he was a little kid. And so this, he, you know, we got him the Crusader outfit. He liked to do the Crusader thing. And then we got held to account because both of the kids attended Bethlehem Lutheran School. Cameron only did for a couple of years, but Alicia did for all of her years, first to eighth grade. She played in, yep, don't go any farther. She played in on the basketball team, and the mascot was Crusaders. Then when she heard the historical account of the horrors that were brought on people during the Crusades in the name of the church, she wanted to know why the mascot for her basketball team was a horrible Crusader. She wanted answers. I took him to my EFM group. I couldn't. Wow, what do you say? What do you say when you're caught like that? So anyway, Cameron, quite the warrior spirit. He ended up getting his rite of passage by joining the military and going through basic training, and that was his rite of passage to manhood. You know, we don't have a lot of that for our men nowadays. So, next slide. And then there's Alicia again. This is about the age when I realized she had absorbed our resistant attitude. You know, we try to teach our kids things that we want them to know, but our behavior teaches them a lot too, and she picked up on my resistance. By the time she was this age, she had declared to me one day in a Target store, I'd plucked off a lovely little matching outfit, a little leopard print matching coordinated outfit, and I said, oh, you look so cute in this. She said, Mom, I don't want to be cute. I want to be stunning. She still gets this look when she looks in the mirror and does her eyebrows. Yeah, she's 25 now. Next slide. We put him in organized sports. Cameron was in soccer. He would prefer to stand on the sideline and chat with the girls rather than to play. Next slide. Alicia was in flag football, and she was fast. She was the fastest little person on the field. Only played for 1 year because then she got too old. Next slide. And Cameron learned how to play the trombone. And I don't know if y'all, some of you might remember the second Sunday band we had here, but Cameron had a solo piece in Spirit of the Sky with the trombone.
Yep.
Right here. Yep. Stand right here in front of the drum section. He played the trombone, the bass line for Spirit in the Sky. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
It was very cool.
Very cool. Next slide. And as a family, we shared our values, we shared our experiences, we shared our love, we shared our germs. Notice the flushed cheeks on Cameron in the front row there. Yeah, the next day he had a fever. And so did everybody else. Next slide. And in those times, when we've gone too far, run too hard, we just need to take a nap on Dad's lap. So this was on our Disneyland trip. And Alicia was always such a bundle of energy. She still is. And I just look at this picture and I think about the burden that you dads have, that we call Godfather. Wow. And then there's whitewater rafting. You know, this is a trip that we used to do with the Lutherans down there on Highway 50, and we'd all meet up there. So Alicia and I are on the left. You can see her smiling and me just digging in. We got really sunburned knees that day, and it was fun. Next slide. And we made sure and got him in the mountains. You know, they both took ski lessons. It was through Bethlehem Lutheran School. They gave us free passes if we'd volunteer to drive, and so I learned how to ski also because Mom didn't want me skiing when I was a kid. I might run into a tree. I couldn't keep up with Cameron, but that's Alicia. We had a lot of fun. Next slide. And then they graduate. And it's like all over, but it's not. So there's Cameron. There's Alicia. Man, that senior project just about killed us. But my grandmother would have been proud. So this is the family reunion at Searchlight with Grandma and Mom and the brothers and the sisters and the significant others, and I just see one cousin in there. Along the way, we've tried to teach the traditions. Here, Alicia and Grandma Ruth, my dad's mom, and my mom, dyeing eggs. Next slide. And we try to give them other things they need, like cars when they graduate, and direction. I don't know if you can see the pole behind the girls here in this picture, but this was at Yosemite, and this is Confusion Hill, and so all those signs point in all kinds of directions. And I know that we try so hard to give our kids what they need and to point them in the right direction, but their direction is theirs. Their choices are theirs. And then we come to these last two pictures. This is a picture at my son's wedding this April, right here. He and Katie got married, and they brought the kids, more kids than I have seen in this building in a really long time. At least half of the guests were children. So this is the children blessing them. And I tell you what, if they weren't in Battle Mountain, I'd have them at church every day. But they're in Battle Mountain. And they're being a center of love in Battle Mountain. There's the wedding party. Alicia's out there on the end, and all of Katie's special people and the kids. So, you know, take your kids to church. Thank you. I forgot to tell you that my Uncle Randy used to be the junior warden here, and my Aunt Helen used to play the organ when we had the big organ over here. I don't have pictures of them. She was an exceptional-looking woman that would not let anybody take pictures of her with a great laugh, but they served the church as well a million years ago.
To Hallie's belt, and it is a silver dollar. It's a Nevada silver dollar belt that was made for your mother. And I just want to say, what an appropriate attire to wear on the first day of our fall pledge campaign. You know, wear your money belt to church. One of the stories that Hallie didn't share was when Alicia was little. I'm thinking maybe 3 years old or so. Hallie was bringing both the kids, Cameron and Alicia, to church, and we were in the early days of this 10 o'clock service, trying to figure out what this worship was going to be like for us. And Alicia and her indomitable spirit would not be contained. And so when we were singing, she would be dancing up and down the aisles. And she would go around the church dancing. And we had some old-timers that were having some real trouble with this. And I didn't help them at all. I encouraged her to do her thing. Now, Brian, is there any chance that you could scroll through Hallie's photo album and find the one of Brent and Alicia in her ballet outfit, where Brent is tying her ballet slipper? Can you find that one? Pull that up, because this is the image that I think I want you folks to walk away with today. And like a lot of times in our Revised Common Lectionary, the lectionary elves have purposefully left off what I think is the most important verse in this entire story. They leave off the first verse, where it tells us that Jesus is traveling. And he's going from the north. Now, if you try to nail down the geography of the Gospel of Mark, you will fail miserably, because this author was in no way familiar with the territory. This author lived, we think, in the north, way north of the Palestine, and didn't know the geography. So when you read Mark's Gospel, it's all screwed up. Nothing makes any sense whatsoever. But the one piece of this puzzle that they left off is that he's traveling from the north and he's heading for Jerusalem, which means that he is going by some large edifices that have been built by the Tetrarch Herod, enslaving the people of Israel to build these enormous things. And Jesus is walking right by them. And it's during this trip when these Pharisees come to him and say, oh, who can get divorced? And Jesus comes back at them with scripture. This is typical of him. But he's not talking to the Pharisees. He's looking at an edifice that was built by Herod Antipas on the backs of the people of Israel. And if you recall, earlier in Mark's Gospel, Herod and his family have been involved in all kinds of shenanigans, divorces and remarriages and beheadings and torture and all kinds of stuff, all of which was to build and consolidate their power. Okay? And so when Jesus responds to this question, who can get divorced, he is talking directly to the court of Herod while they're involved in their shenanigans. And when Jesus makes the comment about adultery, oh, if a man divorces a woman, he commits adultery, and if a woman divorces a man, she commits adultery, he is talking to the court of Herod. And he is speaking to a system of domination and power. And so this little section of Mark's Gospel is in no way intended to tell all of us who have been divorced, oh, you bunch of adulterers, you. Oh, you should be feeling guilty right about now. No. This is about systems of domination and power and the egos and the self-centeredness that fuel them. Now, that little teaching of Jesus then is followed hot on the heels with this section about kids. And once again, Jesus is speaking to a system of domination and power. And this is the image. There is Alicia. She's what? Maybe 4 years old, 4 to 5 years old. And her daddy is tying her ballet slipper on her foot. And Jesus, in effect, says, you want to see God? Don't look to the system of domination and power, folks. This is how God moves through the world. This is how God makes God's presence known. God has never used, read the scriptures, folks, God has never used, ever, a system of domination and power to be known in the world. This is the image. This is the takeaway. A little girl with her daddy. Let's give it up for Hallie. Let's give it up for Alicia, too, yeah. All right, take a moment. And take a nice deep breath. And then another deep breath. And be sure to let it out.